This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Oh, yes, Philadelphia, New Jersey, they're going to fight the feds when it comes to transgender issues. Shocking. We're all shocked by that. Welcome back to the show. It is our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Appreciate you being here today. Busy day, huh? So I wanted to touch on this earlier. When we heard the story of the governor of Maine and the exchange with the president, where she was like, we're going to battle you. I'll see you in court. And he said, fine, I'll see you in court. We're not going to let you continue with these transgender policies. Well, New Jersey and Philadelphia have announced the same, that they're going to not follow the feds on the idea that boys are boys, girls are girls. When it comes to schools, we're going to respect that when it comes to sports. I'm not surprised by this. I just am amazed. I guess I'm not amazed. It is amazing to anyone with a brain that the Democrats would want to die on this hill. Is it not? That this is the hill they want to die on. You heard, I mean, I played you the clip of Charlemagne the God. I played you the clip of Bill Maher. It's like, if you're going to die on this hill, you're going to lose. This is, the American people are not with you on this. I think it's very simple. Men are men, women are women, boys are boys, and girls are girls. And look, and nobody cares what you do as an adult. Nobody does. No. This is about children. This is about school children. And this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariA, VenariaDental.com. This trans athlete showdown. These blue states are going to lose, but politically speaking, you know, I told you, I mean, I've got three kids, as you know, Patrick, Claire, and Reagan. I talk about my kids all the time on the show. My son tonight has soccer practice. My daughter is going to start soccer practice soon. Like, I talk to these parents at these various different things, and they're all with common sense on this. This issue is a big reason why a lot of suburban moms who don't like Donald Trump voted for Donald Trump for president. That and MAHA, the Make America Healthy Again movement. But it's all in tandem because it's all about the children and science and common sense. And the party of science tells us that there's no such thing as gender and biology. An inseminated woman. No, I'm sorry. Inseminated person instead of woman. I drink my chicken broth, my bone broth. To rejuvenate my post-surgical foot. That and Juven, which I'm now taking as well, thanks to the recommendation of of somebody in the Zeoli Army who sent me that note. But the parents are with the president on this because it's science, and they get that. The fact that they would choose to die on this hill, though, as Democrats, shows you how far gone the party is, that they're going to choose to go with a very small percentage of people versus moms and dads in the suburbs, the overwhelming majority of people who absolutely 100% are on the side of common sense. Such a small group of people, trans athletes, such a small group of people. But Philadelphia schools saying the same thing today. And yet, if they want to have a showdown over federal funds, bring it on. They don't have to take the federal money. But it's just, as I mentioned to you, states, when it comes to these grants, you want highway funds, you got to have the alcohol age be 21. I mean, this is the game. This is the way it goes. And until President Trump is arrested by the U.S. Marshals, as Hank Johnson so hopes for, it's not going to happen. He's going to win in court. But politically speaking, Republicans are also going to win at the polls on this issue. And my hope is that Republicans stand strong on this. Don't be mealy mouth and don't be a weenie on this. Like, come out strong and stand behind girls in sports. Don't even turn around and suggest that in any way there's merit to this, keeping parents in the dark or standing with boys who want to be in women's spaces. Don't even give it any oxygen. Don't even play the game of being like, well, you know, we have to be compassionate. Nobody's talking about hurting them. Nobody's talking about keeping them out of schools, abusing them, hurting them in any way, shape, or form. And if it hurts their feelings, well, I think it goes, but look at the feelings of the girls who lose to biological men in sports or feel threatened in their spaces. How about their feelings? Why do their feelings never matter? Their feelings should matter, obviously, 100%. 100%. So the fact that the Philadelphia School District, the fact that New Jersey, the fact that Maine, a couple other places now are all doing this, that's fine. Let them. And then it'll be a very clear contrast, because voters like contrast. Trump did not hide from this issue. He addressed it head on. He said, on day number one, I'm going to end Biden's nonsensical rewrite of Title IX. It's one of the key reasons why Kamala Harris lost that election. All those ads that they played of Kamala Harris talking about transgender athletes, or I'm sorry, transgender inmates, and how she's going to pay for their surgeries. Nobody wants that. No common sense person wants that. So that's where we are. But don't be surprised, but also understand, though, they're going to lose. And there's no way that you're going to see Democrats going to the polls on this issue, because anybody who feels this strongly on this issue is already voting Democrat. You know what I'm saying? On the side of standing with trans athletes. And the Attorney General Pam Bondi came out and said it, you know, we will go against you. Now, this woman in the legislature up in Maine, who now is being told she has to apologize for her comments defending women on the floor of the Maine legislature, that's just an outrage. She's a legislator, and she's speaking out on this, and she has every right to say what she wants to say on this issue. But this is what the left does. They try to silence and intimidate people so that they're afraid to come out and speak on this. And I saw her on Fox News this morning, and I thought she did a really great job of this. The fact that the state now wants an apology from think about this now, an elected member of the legislature for standing up for women, because the governor is trying to go against the president on this issue. That's exactly the problem with the left. They not only want to go on these nutty tirades of embracing policies that the average American knows is wrong, but in addition to that, what they wind up doing all the time is they censor anybody who disagrees with them. So you've got Washington now, Washington State, the Camas School District. They send a letter to families saying that they will continue pushing radical gender ideology, which includes using pronouns/fake names and allowing boys and girls bathrooms and locker rooms. Okay, then you're going to lose your funding. I mean, that's the way it's going to be. You're going to lose your funding over this, and that's the way it should be. You should lose your funding over this, and that's how it is. The Illinois superintendent of schools says his state is going to continue teaching the way that they've always taught in response to Trump's letter on removing DEI from schools. So these schools were going to have an epic battle. And hey, maybe this will get Democrats finally embracing school choice. Because if you want to push this nonsense in school, that's fine. Just don't do it with my money. Just don't do it with my tax dollars. And if you feel very strongly that it should be in school, well, this is what we have been saying for a long time now. Have school choice and let kids go where they need to go based on the values. The Department of Elementary and Secondary Education in Massachusetts sent a letter to schools stating that they will continue pushing inclusivity and affirming practices in support of gender ideology. Okay, well, then they're going to lose the funds, too. That's how it's going to be. That's just, if you can play this game, that's how it's going to be. This Maine representative who was censured, who exposed the trans athlete's ban, I saw her earlier today on Fox News with John Roberts and Sandra Smith. I think she's a very brave woman for coming forward. I know that it's not easy for these legislators to be called these names, you know, people like her who are trying to stand up and support women. I know it's not easy for them to do so. Here's a little bit of the interview.
Yeah, you know, that's the discussion that the Democrats are trying to turn this into. That individual participated in a public event, mm-hmm. was photographed many times, and those photos are on websites all over the internet. A simple Google search proves that. It's not unique that his photo is out there, but what is unique is that it got attention this time, and it brought mm-hmm. attention to the fact that boys are participating, biological males are participating and winning at girls' sports in Maine, and they are taking the place of girls who should be winning these competitions and are being misplaced. They're being silenced and they're being removed from the sports arena.
So the New York Times contracted with Ipsos Polling to do a poll to take the temperature of voters across America on this issue. This is pretty interesting. 79% of all respondents said the transgender athletes should not be allowed to compete in women's sports. Republicans were 94%, even Democrats at 67%. Clear majorities there, Laurel, across the board on this issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are numbers we see reflected in Maine. And the
Now, think about that. Even Democrat voters think this is nuts. Even voters in Maine think this is nuts. So they're saying that this legislator, in addition to speaking her words of hate, exposed a trans athlete, and in doing so should be censured, this Laurel Libby in Maine. You're going to see more of this now in blue states. They're going to go after politicians who side with women or side with the administration and go against this transgender ideology and all the other nonsense the left is pushing. You're going to see more of this because they want to silence people. And Riley Gaines said it like this: a female representative in Maine lost her ability to vote and speak on the House floor for defending girls and women. No, this didn't happen in Afghanistan. It happened in America. A little bit more from this interview with the Maine representative.
Of my fellow Mainers, folks reaching out saying, you know, it's time that this is brought to light. Our girls deserve better. They should have a fair and level playing field. I think it's quite true in Maine that 80% of folks do not think that biological males should be participating in sports against females and taking their trophies away.
So here's what Riley Gaines, who, of course, we've had on this program a number of times, big supporter of biological males not being allowed into women's sports, said about your plight. She said, quote, a female representative in Maine lost her ability to vote and speak on the House floor for defending girls and women. No, this didn't happen in Afghanistan. It happened in America. The House Speaker, Ryan Fecteau, said that until you apologize, you can neither speak on the floor nor vote. What do you plan to do about it? Are you ready to go to the mat on this?
Well, I consider considering my options, I do not believe that this censure is constitutional. I don't mm-hmm. believe that the legislature with a simple majority vote has the authority to censure a sitting legislator voted in by my district, silencing their voices. And so I am exploring options there.
All right. Of course, the entire nation is aware of the dust up between
press. It's not America. It's not America for a representative to be censured for speaking out, for speaking her mind. And the governor of Maine is fundraising off the Trump transgender sports clash, as they put it. Philadelphia schools, this is the problem. How many urban families do you think in Philadelphia believe that trans children should participate in sports against their little girls? Like, how many people do you think in urban areas like Philadelphia think this is a good idea? The school district is going to ignore Trump's executive ban, banning trans athletes from competing in women's sports. So this is the objection that you're going to see now in more and more blue areas. The district will continue to align its practices to support its LGBTQ+IA. This is not about LGBTQ students. This is about biological men competing against women, period. That's what this is about. Don't make this into something more. Don't make this into hate. Don't make this into an anti-LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet thing. And I know that for the L, B, and G people, to be lumped in with this has got to be incredibly frustrating for them. To be lumped into this conversation when we're talking about protecting girls, who, by the way, might be lesbians. Like Martina Navratilova, who's been an outspoken defender of women in sports. Now, so it's not about that. It's not about the rainbow soup and the alphabet soup and the rainbow mafia. It's not about that. It's about common sense and where the voters go. And that poll that I just went through with you, that says everything to you. Everything that proves the point that I'm making with you on this. So let the Democrats die on this hill. It just is amazing that they would do that after everything we've seen. After seeing Trump's victory, it is amazing that they would do it. All right, Daniel Turner is going to join me next. Power of the future. Keystone XL pipeline is dead, as you know, but what would it take to get it restarted? And in New Jersey, are you prepared for how much more you're going to pay if you are a ratepayer? And what does the future look like for Pennsylvania with natural gas, nuclear, coal, and so much more? Our fourth and final hour continues here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHC. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Enjoyed it.
Well, it was great to be on her podcast. She's the best. She really is. She's awesome. I love her. All right, joining me now, he is the man behind Power of the Future. He's fighting the commies and trying to restore America's energy greatness. And he's Daniel Turner, and he joins us now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHG. Busy day, my man. We were both watching the cabinet meeting earlier today, and you shot me a text that your buddy got a couple questions in. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Chris Bedford's a longtime close friend, and he's with The Blaze. And he got a question about the five bullet points, which no one can seem to do in the federal government. And he also asked, which I thought was a great question and very much up our alley. He asked about private contractors getting involved in the immigration process, which I'm all for. I would hire all of these outside groups, you know, that Blackwater, et cetera, and start taking out the cartels and start taking out the bad guys a lot faster. But President Trump said no, so that's okay.
Well, I like the idea of the Blackwater guys going in there and hunting them down too, but he said no. Is that what the president said? Because
he said he hasn't had conversations about it, but you know, a rancher just yesterday was found dead on his property by an IED, right? Yeah. I mean, that's not a dispute on the side of the road. That's they targeted him. And I don't know at what point, and this has nothing to do with energy, just clearly stuff that's on our mind, but I don't know at what point we don't see the cartels with the same level of hostility that we would see any terrorist organization. And so I'm all for sending in private contractors. And people have said, well, we can't do that. It will be an ugly war. It'll be like Vietnam. I'm not talking about boots on the ground. I'm just talking about destroying them from a long distance with no mercy and no regret.
Yeah. Well, it'll make for a great season two of Landman, that's for sure. No doubt about that, which we are all anxiously awaiting. This morning, I saw our mutual friend Dan Perino tweeted out your op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about the Keystone XL pipeline. First day on the job, Biden killed it. There's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm now around President Trump restoring it. You point out all that was lost when Biden killed the Keystone XL pipeline, Daniel Turner. Take us through it.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, thrilled that we have a president who respects the energy industry and is a champion of energy. And the energy industry is thrilled that President Trump is back. But that doesn't negate what Biden did. And killing Keystone wasn't just killing a pipeline. It wasn't just firing thousands of hardworking Americans. It set a really ugly and dangerous precedent that now the full faith and credit of the American government is in question. And my point in this op-ed is not at all poo-pooing President Trump's decision or the company that owns the pipeline. But if they don't jump at the opportunity, I can't say I blame them, because Keystone is going to take 5 or 6 years. And are you going to recommit billions of dollars in personnel? God forbid we get Gretchen Whitmer in 2028. You know, we couldn't have predicted Biden, and yet here we are. And I wanted to raise the point that what Biden did is so ugly and dangerous and such a bad precedent that now any long-term infrastructure project, especially one in energy, that's going to last more than a presidential cycle, you got to question, am I going to run that risk to do anything if the next guy wins and he runs? You know, imagine if you have Gavin Newsom, who's running for president, and he's going to run, and all he talks about in 2028, when I'm elected, I am going to shut down that pipeline. Well, this is a $4 billion operation. What am I supposed to do? So I don't think Keystone is going to start that quickly. And that's because of Joe Biden. The damage he did will last into the future.
Yeah, it's such a great point. The amount of investment in infrastructure necessary. Like, how much have they spent up until that point when Biden killed it?
I think it was close to $2 billion.
Unbelievable.
And there's no bailout, right? There's no recuperation of cost. Now, to be positive and optimistic, I do propose some solutions. And I said one of them is maybe the government, the way the private industry does, private sector, maybe they have to start floating some sort of a bond where you say, look, we will pony up the equal amount of construction costs in a bond. And if we, for some reason, forfeit, then you get your money back. That's a great solution. Doesn't cost the government a dime, because we just assume the government's going to be good to its word. But if you want to build, you know, I was with Governor Dunleavy last week at CPAC. I got to interview him on the big stage. It was awesome.
Cool.
He wants to do this Alaska natural gas pipeline. That's a 15-year project. And that's, I mean, and look at the way every lib goes after Alaska. It's going to be hard to convince people to put up tens of billions of dollars on a 15-year project if Gavin Newsom's going to run for president saying, when I'm elected, I am going to shut down that pipeline. So a bond is I think, a necessary step that President Trump from the private sector construction world would totally understand.
Yeah, and you say that if it's the government who bails, then the government's on the hook. If the company bails, then they're on the hook. And
exactly.
It's structured in a way to protect the taxpayers if the company folds or something else. But yeah, no, I hear you on that point. It's actually a great idea. It's a great solution to that, because why would you bother making the infrastructure investment if you know that Democrats are going to kill it, and not just kill it, but make a big deal about killing it? And all your work is done. And then if you're a worker, why would you relocate your family? Why would you do all the other things, give up other opportunities to be part of that, knowing that it could be a temp job at best for a couple years if you're lucky? You wouldn't do that either. So that's the other issue, is that you got to protect the workers. Who are involved in all of this. And then you have to protect the other entities that would be looking to expand around it, because that's one of the benefits of the Keystone XL pipeline, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And these are great points that you're raising. Workforce is taking a risk, right? When you sign up for that contract, the guys who I met at Keystone, who have been all on TV, on Dana's show, et cetera, you know, they moved, they're months on, months off. They're living in trailers. Am I going to run that risk again and put this part of my life in jeopardy if the rug is going to get pulled out from under my feet? You know, and your wonderful state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, has experienced this a lot and lots of industries. Why did we start making steel overseas? And the ultimate simplest reason is because it was easier. Yes, it was cheaper, but the reason why it was cheaper is because it was easier. And so the question isn't how do we punish all those people, but why do we make it easier to work here in America? And I think President Trump understands that. If it's easier to produce oil and gas in other countries, they're going to do it. And that is unfortunate. You can say it's a negative side, a downside, or whatever side. that is a side of the free market. If all I want to do is produce oil and gas, and I can do it in Mauritania easier than I can in Texas, I'm going to go to Mauritania. And we can talk about patriotism, and we can talk about, and those are all valuable things. But I think, you know, Apple would rather make things in America, but it's too expensive. It's too hard. And those are, and that's what President Biden just did with Keystone. They're going to make it harder now to build a pipeline in America. And that was the goal, right? That was the goal. Make it harder to build oil and gas infrastructure in America, because it's better for the earth if we do it in Venezuela. That part I struggle with logically, but that's why I'm not a Democrat.
We all struggle with that logically, Daniel Turner. Let's cross the river into New Jersey, where ratepayers in New Jersey, if you are a residential, you're looking at the BPU just approved a rate hike of 17%, but businesses can go as high as 22%, maybe 24%. This is all because New Jersey, with all of Phil Murphy's idiotic ideas for clean energy, green energy, and I'm using air quotes here, is not able to make the energy that the state needs, so they have to buy it on the market. And so as a result, now the ratepayers get screwed. And people are already waking up to these ridiculously high energy bills, and it's about to get even worse come this summer. And this is, again, a proof positive that none of these Democrats' ideas actually work. It does not produce the energy that we need, period.
Yeah, it's such an important point. And it's the stuff that as the years I've been talking to you and talking about these issues, and I've always hated that I had to say it has to get a lot worse before it gets better. And you can see these things happening, right? By the time the doors blew off of the airplane, it wasn't because of what Boeing did yesterday. It was because of a policy decision they made 10 years ago where they were going to prioritize diversity, right? It took a while for that to be felt, but boy, has it been felt, like a lot of DEI issues. Well, energy is the same, right? When you say we're going to pass a law that says 40% of Jersey electricity has to come from green, it's going to take a while for that law to be felt. And now you're feeling it. And those laws have to be undone, and those peoples have to be held to account. And you know what they're going to do? And Governor Hochul in my home state of New York does this. Governor Murphy does it. This is what governors across the board, Democrat governors across the board, do. Now they blame the utility company. And they're like, they're the ones raising your rates. And they are raising your rates because they're trying to comply with a law that they didn't want passed, because Phil Murphy knows what percent of Jersey's electricity should come from wind and solar. And this is where, you know, just bad politicians make stupid laws, and the people are the ones who suffer.
And ironically, or tragically, a lot of these tech companies that were behind all these green ideas are the ones that need the most energy for AI. And so they're absorbing the most energy out of anybody, but they've spent years advocating for all this green nonsense, right?
Oh, you're singing my song. And right, we've talked about this with Three Mile Island as they're building that data center in that part of Pennsylvania, but they want a nuclear reactor because they're like, we're not going to build a wind farm, right? That crap doesn't work. We're not going to build a solar farm. We can't run the risk of powering a Microsoft data center and not having it be a windy day. So they want nuclear power. But the citizens don't get reliable power. The citizens are told we're going to go green. And you know, part of the evil of the green movement is it doesn't just hate the fossil fuel industry, but it destroys and it dismantles. So if you go back to a famous image of Joe Biden in 2022 standing outside of Boston, it was hot. It was July. He purposely wore a powder blue shirt so he had the sweat stains, and he was standing on the spot of a dismantled coal mine. And he said, this coal power plant. And he talked about how we shut down this coal plant because asthma, every one of my friends has cancer. Even I have cancer. Remember all that? And then he said, and we're going to promise, and we're going to build these wind farms, and right here the wind farm is going to come on shore and provide cheap energy. Well, they did destroy the coal plant, and they fired all those men and women who worked there, but they never built the wind. Biden never built the wind farm, and now with Trump, they're definitely not going to build the wind farm. But that's what they do. They destroy what was working, and now they leave the people in a pickle. And no one will go back to that town and say, Joe Biden screwed us, right? All they get to do is say, boy, he really cared about climate change. And they do this across the board in every state, in every country. It's devastating to watch. We can reverse it, but it's going to take a lot of pain to be felt before it's reversed.
Yeah, two things on that. Number one is I thought Joe Biden was going to cure cancer. And two, I think he actually said in that speech, I may be wrong, that he died of cancer. And all of his friends died of cancer, too. So it wasn't just having it. It was all dying of it. Daniel Turner, let me ask you about minerals, Ukraine, and President Trump's idea here, which I think goes in tandem with the U.S. finally ending that stupid ban on liquid natural gas exports, which has just made Vladimir Putin an even richer, richer man. Because, you know, if France is spending giving Russia more money to buy their natural gas than they're sending to Ukraine to help in the war effort. So what do you think of this idea of these precious minerals that we so desperately need here in the United States that apparently, I guess, Ukraine has?
Well, I think it accomplishes a couple of things. It hopefully recuperates some of the money that we have spent, you know, the $34-$50 we sent Ukraine over the years. Yeah. You know, we recuperate some of that money, which is good. Secondly, we do need these rare earth metals and minerals to power our economy. And so to have a guaranteed source that isn't sub-Saharan slave child labor, right, I think would be a good thing. But I think the third thing it also accomplishes is that China is known for entering into war-torn and troubled countries with a big footprint and a lot of money claiming to come to their rescue. And then they just capitalize on the resources. They've done this very well in South America as President Biden turned a blind eye the last couple of years. The Monroe Doctrine disappeared, right? They do this all across Africa and all across Southeast Asia. And I think President Trump's trying to say, even though it's far from China, it's keeping China out because China has their eye on metals and minerals around the world. They control 95% of the world's metals and minerals and rare earth markets. And they would probably see Ukraine as the next place to set up shop and elbow America out. So I think he's a step ahead of China in one market, and that's a good thing for us.
And bringing it back domestically here, when we think about Pennsylvania, for example, and the idea of a liquid natural gas export facility right here in Philadelphia, I mean, where, you know, not far from where we broadcast from, that would be great. That create incredible jobs for Americans. What steps need to happen in order for that? Because I know the Biden administration put in a lot of nutty things, like you can't transport liquid natural gas via train, right? So there's a lot of things that have to be undone by the previous administration that I'm sure this administration is still trying to figure out. But you probably know about all this stuff already, Daniel Turner. Doug Burgum, who I think is going to do a great job running this energy council, I had the chance to sit down with him at the White House last week. I was very impressed by him. Really smart guy here. And Interior makes a lot of sense, too, because a lot of our lands, we think of Interior as national parks, but it's bigger than that. And a lot of the lands for drilling are going to be on federal lands. So, and which is another issue, too. I guess it's opening up another door, which is how the Biden administration was stopping any effort on federal lands, which they were taken to court for and they were held in contempt of court for, and talk about defying the will of judges. But nobody ever brought that up. All right. I just drew like 18 things at you. So.
It's you are experiencing why I've lost all my hair, because these are really these issues have so many moving parts, and they come from so many different angles. And that's why this White House Energy Council, Energy Dominance Council, is so important, because you can ask one simple question like, how do we get liquid natural gas pipelines built or the liquid natural gas exports out of Pennsylvania? But the reason why is manifold. It could be because of lending, because there are still Biden rules that punish banks who lend to the fossil fuel industry. It could be because of personnel, because the Labor Department and the Biden administration set up so many rules about contractors that the energy industry uses that they don't want you to use independent contractors. And so maybe it's a labor problem. It could be a land problem. It could be whatever. The most important thing that I think President Trump did, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, and I will embrace that title, because I hate when we abuse government, but when Joe Biden declared a COVID emergency, you couldn't go into the grocery store unless you followed all, you know, you remember the things on the on your forehead, and because it was an emergency and they declared it and you shut the hell up. It's an emergency. Well, I hated that and it was wrong. But President Trump declared an energy emergency. And as far as I am concerned, goose and gander, if there's an energy emergency and I need to build that pipeline out of Marcellus Shale to a terminal in Baltimore, I don't give a damn if the governor of Maryland says, I don't want that pipeline. It's an emergency. And you're going to shut the hell up and we're going to build our pipeline because we have an energy emergency. That is totally hypocritical. I get it. But I don't give a damn anymore. I'm so angry at the fact that we can't get these crucial pipelines built. You know, when I was at Doug Burgum's hearing, and he talked with New England senators who were saying how, you know, energy prices in New England were so high. And he was saying, but we have so much natural gas from Pennsylvania, we can't get a pipeline built. Right. We can't get a pipeline built to Maine and Massachusetts and New Hampshire and get them dirt cheap natural gas. Heating your home in New England over winter shouldn't even be a thought. We have so much natural gas so close in Pennsylvania. I mean, it is close. In the scheme of the world, right? Pennsylvania to New Hampshire is close. And we can't get a pipeline built because of a bunch of green groups, a bunch of liberal board members and a county commission who were like, you're not building my pipeline. Shut the hell up, energy emergency. We're building the pipeline because we are saving American jobs, families, infrastructure, et cetera. So that's how you get it done. You use your big damn foot and you stomp it into the ground.
Well, I mean, this is the new way of politics, right? Whoever's in the executive office is going to use executive power, and the new guy is going to come in and undo it. And, you know, this is the game. And I mean, hopefully at some point that changes. And I've said for years, and I know you've said for years, and guys like Rand Paul have said for years, we have to limit the president's ability to declare these emergencies.
Oh, absolutely.
They have way too much power. Well, but until we do, you know, we might as well use it for our fun. I mean, you know, I mean, that's
And I think that a little bit of a differentiator here is that President Biden did do that, but the American people saw what it did to their livelihood and they voted him out of office. I think if President Trump is able to demonstrate that life got better, then they're just going to say, that's fine. I don't care. Right. I don't. You're not going to take away my cheap natural gas again. Mm-hmm. And we do have the ability to make energy cheap. We have the ability to make electricity cheap. President Trump said he wanted to cut electricity rates nationwide in half. Ambitious goal. But if he's able to accomplish any of that by the time 2028 rolls around, then you're going to have Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer all running for climate change is killing us. But the American voter, the single mom of two listening right now in Jersey, he's going to say, yeah, but my electric bill went from $80 to $43. I'm going to stick with the guy who's going to keep this in place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the last point I'll make on that is the waste of money on these EV charging stations that, again, they did. I mean, we're talking about so much money wasted here. We see them all around us. I drive by them. Nobody's using them, the friggin' things. They look like a monument to waste, fraud, and abuse, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, they ushered in DOGE by their own action. When Pete Buttigieg gave that interview on Meet the Press or Face the Nation or whatever show it was, where he was confronted with the $8 billion that they've spent with only 8 charging stations built. And he was like, well, you know what? We were making progress. And even the moderator was like, $8 billion, only 8 built. And he was like, no, we are making good head. They ushered in the age of DOGE by these silly projects that cost us a fortune that never materialized for the benefit of the American people. So if they look now and they're like, what's with all this cost cutting? You guys did this to yourself with your own fecklessness, your own abuse of government. You brought this upon yourself, guys.
Yeah. To quote John McClane, welcome to the party, pal. Daniel Turner, power of the future. Follow him at Daniel Turner PTF. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you, buddy.
You're the best, Rich. Thank you so much.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, before we get out of here and turn it over to Jimmy Failla with Fox Across America, let me just say the Trump cabinet meeting today was amazing to watch. A cabinet meeting, a fully assembled cabinet meeting. Wasn't that something? I really was. I just kept thinking as I watched, and I did, of course, watch the whole thing with my foot elevated and drinking my chicken broth. I just kept thinking, what a change from the Biden administration. An administration that hid from everybody and never maximized the opportunities of the grandeur of the presidency. And I also love the fact that we could see some of our friends around that table, right? Tulsi Gabbard, Pam Bondi. frequent guests of the show, Doug Burgum, who I was just with last week, Secretary Brooke Rollins, who I was just with last week on the phone anyway, at the White House. So really cool to see that. And just thinking in terms of where we're going with all this. Now, I didn't get a chance to mention this earlier in the show, but I wanted to. Tulsi Gabbard last night, when she said to Jesse Waters about how they're going to go after all the people that were part of that deep state chat, talking about all the disgusting things that they were talking about. And that came up again today with the president, obviously. Good. You know, this is good. There should be not okay. You know what I mean? Not okay to any of these, for these people in government to be doing this on our dime. It's funny when you ask about you ask about some of these people, right? What are they doing? And come up with five bullet points. Give me 5 points. And they can't come up with five bullet points. Why is that? Because what, they're doing stuff like this? Like they're on the chat talking about polyamory and trans stuff, I guess. I don't know, but here's what Tulsi said about it.
What we're going to do has already been done. There are over 100 people from across the intelligence community that contributed to and participated in this, what is really just an egregious violation of trust, what to speak of like basic rules and standards around professionalism. I put out a directive today that they all will be terminated and their security clearances will be revoked. But the thing here, Jesse, is like we got to take a step back, because this is just barely scratching the surface. When you see what these people were saying, and thanks to Chris Rufo for putting it all out online, they were brazen in using an NSA platform,
sure,
intended for professional use to conduct this kind of really, really horrific behavior. And they were brazen in doing this because when was the last time anyone was really held accountable?
Exactly.
Certainly not over the last 4 years.
Exactly. And that's the thing with all these bureaucrats. When are they held accountable? When are they held accountable? And typically they're not. That has to change. Because all these deep state actors, whether it's this or it's spying on American citizens, this is the same basic idea of we can do whatever the hell we want and get away with it. That's the problem. That's the problem that we all see with these people. All right, a couple programming notes. I mentioned this earlier in the show, but the dates for the Grand Hotel are not locked in. Please don't book your rooms around the dates I gave you last week. We do have to make a couple adjustments in them. And so, like, for example, our buddy EJ. So if you've already made reservations around an anticipated show date, they'll help you out with that. But we don't have the full dates yet. Hope to announce them very, very soon. We're working on that as we speak. And the other big programming note, of course, is that it's nothing. That's all I got. I thought I had something else cool to share, but it turns out I don't. I'm just exaggerating. Not exaggerating, but I was purposely optimistic about thinking that there was something cool that I was going to announce. I mean, I can announce Jake Tapper's hypocrisy if you want. Should we do that before we close out the show today? Jake Tapper's hypocrisy, the guy who's got a new book out, Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, the Cover Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again, by Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson. Jake Tapper, who said this.
Jake is very clearly a cognitive decline.
Okay.
That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
Well, you're trying to tell me that what I was suggesting was
I think
stuttering.
You were mocking his stutter. I think you were mocking his stutter, and I think you have absolutely no standing to diagnose somebody's cognitive decline. I would think that somebody in the Trump family would be more sensitive to people who do not have medical licenses diagnosing politicians from afar. Plenty of people have diagnosed your father from afar, and I'm sure it has.
Of course, that was Laura Trump speaking with Jake Tapper, blasting her for suggesting this. And now he's the author of the book, Original Sin. These people have no shame, no shame whatsoever. Have a great rest of your night. Jimmy's next. I'll see you tomorrow at 3. Thank you for listening.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.